Chapter 8. On Broadway. At the beginning of March, I received a phone call from the editor of the travel magazine. "Congratulations, Antonio," she said. "Your article on New York City at Christmas is one of the most successful articles we've ever had in the magazine." "Really?" I answered, quite surprised. "We've received hundreds of letters from our readers telling us how much they liked it," she continued. "Many of them said that it made them want to fly to New York immediately." "Wow!" I exclaimed. "I'd like to offer you a permanent position on our team of writers," she said. "Are you interested?" "Of course I am," I answered. I travelled a lot for the magazine during the next few months and published at least one article for each of their monthly issues. I emailed Elaine and Jason constantly, telling them about my adventures. They always replied quickly and gave me news about what was happening with them. In early June, I went to Almeria to write an article on Cabo de Gata. As usual, I checked my emails when I arrived at my hotel room and saw that I had received one from Jason entitled Urgent. In it, he asked me to call him at home as soon as possible. This worried me, and I called immediately. "Jason, it's Antonio," I said when he answered the phone. "What's wrong? Has something terrible happened?" "No, something wonderful has happened," he replied. "I'm sorry if I worried you, but I wanted you to know the good news right away." "What is it?" I asked. "I'm in a Broadway show," Jason said. "Congratulations," I exclaimed. "What show is it? When did you get the job?" "It's Man of La Mancha, and the production office called me yesterday to offer me the job," he said. Man of La Mancha is a musical based on Cervantes' Don Quixote de la Mancha. Jason explained that a new production of the musical had opened on Broadway in November. He said that he'd gone to the first open auditions that had been organised after the production had started. "I don't understand," I said. "Why do they have auditions after a show has opened?" "Equity, the Professional Actors Union, has an agreement with the Broadway Producers Association that their shows must have open auditions every 5 or 6 months, even if they don't need anybody," Jason explained. "Hundreds of actors go to these auditions because everyone is desperate for a job. I guess that I was lucky, because the chances of getting a job from these auditions are usually very small." "Who do you play in the show?" I asked. "I've got a very small role," he answered. "Basically, I'm part of the chorus, but I don't care, because it's a Broadway show and it's a beginning. Plus, the most exciting thing is that I'm also the understudy for one of the principal roles." "What's an understudy?" I asked. "An understudy is an actor who is the substitute for one of the main roles in a show," Jason explained. "If the actor playing that role gets sick or can't do a show for any reason, the understudy plays his part." "That's great," I said. "So now you must come and visit during the summer," Jason said. "You're right," I replied. "I'm very busy at the magazine right now, but I promise that I'll visit you as soon as I can." When I had finished my article on Cabo de Gata, I proposed to my editor writing a second article on New York City. "This one will be different," I explained. "It will be about the city in the summer." "I like that idea," my editor replied. "Let's do it." I immediately emailed Jason and Elaine, told them the good news, and a little after 1 p.m. on July 7th, my plane landed at Kennedy Airport. When I walked into the arrivals lounge after getting my suitcase, I was very pleasantly surprised to see Elaine waiting for me. "I hope that you're not too tired," she said after kissing me warmly, "because we're going to the theatre tonight." "Tonight?" I asked, confused. "Yes, the actor that Jason is understudying for is sick," Elaine explained. "The show's production office called him this morning to tell him that he'll be doing that role in tonight's show. He'll even be singing a solo in 2 songs. I'm here to welcome you back and to give you the keys to his apartment because he's rehearsing at the theatre right now. He's reserved 2 free tickets for us for tonight's show." Elaine and I talked and laughed continuously during the bus trip into the city. It was wonderful to see her again and to be sitting next to her. The bus station was very close to Jason's apartment, so we walked the rest of the way. "Are you hungry?" Elaine asked me as we stood in front of Jason's apartment building. "I'm not hungry right now," I answered, "but I'm sure that I will be soon." "Then let's meet at 6 o'clock this evening," she suggested. "The show doesn't start until 8 o'clock, so we'll have enough time to have a light dinner before going to the theatre." "That sounds perfect," I said. I slept for a short time on the sofa when I got into Jason's apartment because I didn't want to fall asleep during the show. After that, I unpacked some of my things, showered, and put on some nice clothes. Elaine rang Jason's buzzer from the street as I was putting on my shoes. It was time to see a Broadway show. We had a delicious dinner in a small Japanese restaurant nearby, and then walked to the theatre, which was only two streets away from Jason's apartment. While we were getting our reserved tickets, I looked at a sign that had the ticket prices for the show. The least expensive tickets were $45, and the most expensive were $98. "Wow," I said, "Broadway shows are really expensive." "Yes, they are," Elaine agreed. "It's a good thing that we know someone in the show who can give us free tickets." "How can people who aren't rich go to such expensive shows?" I asked. "Well, there's a place in the middle of Times Square that sells half-price tickets for Broadway shows," Elaine explained. "However, they only sell tickets for that night's performance and only for shows that aren't completely full. There's usually an enormous line to buy tickets there, but at least it's less expensive." We walked to our seats and nervously waited for the show to begin. Elaine took my hand and squeezed it when the announcement was made that Jason was going to be playing the part of Anselmo in the show. Then the lights went down and the show began. Everything about it was incredible. The orchestra, the lighting, the music and the performers. They were all excellent singers, dancers and actors. I now understood why Broadway was considered the mecca of theatre. When the time came for Jason to sing his first song, Elaine took my hand again and squeezed even harder. "Why do I feel so nervous?" she asked me in a whisper. "I don't know," I replied. "I'm really nervous as well. I guess it's because we both want Jason to do well." And he did very well. He sang his song beautifully, and the audience gave him a very enthusiastic ovation. I felt so proud of my friend. He was living his dream, and I was lucky enough to be in the theatre to share it with him. When the show ended, Elaine and I went outside to the stage door at the back of the theatre and told the guard that we wanted to see our friend who was in the show. A minute later, Jason appeared. He was covered in sweat and still had his makeup on, but he looked very excited and happy. "Can I be the first person to ask for your autograph, Mr. Broadway star?" I asked, giving him my programme. "Of course," he said, laughing. "Welcome back, Antonio. Why don't you two come with me to my dressing room, and I'll give you a little tour backstage." "Can we?" I asked. "Of course," Jason replied. "You're my guests." On the way to his dressing room, Jason took us onto the stage so that we could get an idea of what the actors saw when they were acting in the show. I looked out at the empty seats in the theatre and was filled with admiration for my friend and the other actors in the show. I would be scared to death to walk out in front of almost 1,000 people to sing and act. Jason also introduced us to all the main actors in the show. I was particularly impressed when I met the actors who played Don Quixote and Dulcinea. It was obvious that they had completely transformed themselves into their characters because they seemed so normal now. Both of them congratulated Jason and predicted that he would have a very successful career. After Jason had taken off his makeup and changed clothes, he, Elaine and I went to celebrate in a nearby bar that the actors in his show frequented. We met most of the people in the show and had a lot of fun with them. It was a perfect way to spend the first night of my return to New York City.